In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. If you can recite every letter of the law of your faith, but walk past those in need, the poor, the hungry, the sick, and the needy, because to help them on the Sabbath would violate the letter of the law, have you been true to your faith? Or does your faith teach you to err on the side of grace and focus more on the heart of the law than the letter of the law? That's the crux of the gospel passage this morning. The letter of the law versus the heart of the law. And the specific question on the table this morning is this: is it a sin to heal on the Sabbath? Well, according to the leaders in the synagogue, the answer is a resounding yes. It is a sin. The Mosaic law is crystal clear in both Exodus and Deuteronomy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day to the Lord your God. Case closed. Black and white. You may not do any work on the Sabbath. But then the question becomes, what constitutes work? Well, the leaders of the synagogue decided such things, and according to the leaders of the synagogue, untying their donkey from the manger and leading it away to give it water was not work, but healing a woman with an illness was work. And that's when Jesus cries hypocrites to those religious leaders. You do one thing yourself, and yet you want to stop me from doing something that's no different. Actually, it's even more important what Jesus is doing, he says. You're quite happy to untie an animal that needs water, so why shouldn't this woman, this daughter of Abraham, who has been bound by Satan for 18 years, be set free on a Sabbath day? Jesus doesn't see a religious law to adhere to in this situation. Instead, he sees a woman whose faith is not bound in the law, but in her heart. And through her heart, Jesus sees a woman whose faith is stronger than any law that could be written. He sees a woman who's been crippled and bent over for 18 years, and yet by all accounts has never missed a Sabbath day in the synagogue. Yet in all those years, she has never been healed. She prays to God even when it feels as if God isn't listening, much less answering her prayer. And yet, through it all, she remains faithful. But things are going to change for her today. For the moment, she is just an invisible, crooked woman to all the people around her, to all the people except Jesus, who calls her forward and in one sentence changes her life. Woman, you are set free from your ailment. And Christ lays hands on her, and she stands up straight and sees a world that now is in front of her and not below her for the first time in 18 years. But that wasn't the only healing that Jesus gave this woman that day. He also redefined her life by giving her a new name and a new identity. But with all the logistic talk in this gospel, it's easy to miss this new name that she was given. It only has 3 words, but they were crucially important 3 words. Daughter of Abraham. Do you remember who Abraham is in the Old Testament? William Willimon says Abraham is none other than the great-great-granddaddy of Israel. This is the man God promised to make a great nation from, and a nation through which all nations of the earth would be blessed. So you could say, every one of us in this church are descendants of Abraham. And today this woman, who was known only as the little crooked woman, who was overlooked by all that passed her by, who wasn't even shown the dignity of being seen or acknowledged, today she has been renamed, not by the world, but by God. And today she takes her rightful place in the story of God's redemption as a daughter of Abraham. When you think about it, this woman would not have been cured. She would not have received this new identity in her life if Christ had been legalistic about Mosaic law instead of compassionate about faith. Which made me start thinking about how many times we choose not to see who is in front of us. How many times do we choose to turn our head or not make eye contact with somebody in need? We don't use Mosaic law as our excuse. Most often we use judgment. We pass judgment on folks and say that their calamity, their poverty, their addiction, their homelessness, whatever their issue is, was brought on by themselves. But I promise you, if you would take just a moment to talk to some of these folks, you could have a life-changing experience yourself and discover that you are the one who's bent over and has a crooked spirit. And I know this from firsthand experience. When I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina in the very early 90s, it was not at all the beautiful and thriving downtown it is now. You wanted off the streets of downtown Charlotte by sundown because it got a little dangerous after dark. I worked downtown and my church was downtown. So I'd park on the church parking lot and I would just walk back and forth to work in the church. One day I met a homeless street man named Johnny. And we became friends over the years. We'd say hello to each other every morning, and over time we got to know each other. As time went on and the daylight hours became shorter and it was dusk or dark by the time I'd be walking to my car, Johnny would wait for me to leave work so that he could walk me to my car to ensure my safety. "They won't hurt you if they know you're with me," he'd say. I learned that Johnny was not a drunk. He was not a drug addict, but he had hurt his back on the job and he couldn't work. And the company that he had worked for wouldn't pay workman's comp. And as a result, all the cards fell the wrong way and he wound up on the street. Eventually, he did get a settlement and was able to move into an apartment where he had a garden, which was one of his passions in life. And for years after he moved into that apartment, he would bring vegetables from his garden to the church office for me to take home so I could have fresh vegetables at night. I deeply cherish the memory of having known Johnny. Now, I would not have had that blessed experience if I had just followed the jot and tittle of the law, if I had passed the judgment. I would not have made eye contact, and Johnny would have just been invisible to me. Just another faceless person. But by the grace of God, I saw something more than the world had labeled him. I saw a son of Abraham. Today would be a good day to remember that at our baptism we made a covenant with God that, among other things, requires us to seek and serve Christ in all people and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We also promise to strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. Personally, I think this is where the letter of the law and the heart of the law meet as one. I think the world would be a much better place if we could all remember that, like the crooked woman in today's gospel, we are all, every one of us, children of God and sons and daughters of Abraham. We have responsibility to each other, and our lives, our identity as God's own, counts for something. So beginning today, I invite you to leave this church with your heads up and your eyes wide open, seeing everyone that comes before you. Live the covenant of your faith through your actions. Let the world see you acting like the Christian that you are. And then as you hear the dismissal at the end of this service, take it to heart and then go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.